Today, we continue with lesson number 6 in our study of Mishnayos Bikurim. And we will learn the last Mishnah of the first Perek, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Aleph, and the first Mishnah of the second Perek, Perek Sheni, Mishnah Aleph. In the last Mishnah of the first Perek, we return to a topic which we studied earlier. Earlier we learned that the Chachamim hold that if a person, if I, for example, buy 2 trees on your property, so it's not clear, when I buy 2 trees, do I also have the land with those trees or just the trees? And therefore, we learned earlier that a person who buys 2 trees does bring Bikurim from those 2 trees, but does not recite the Parsha because it's questionable whether he can say, this is the land that you, God, have given me. Reishis priho adomo asher nosatoli. Does he have land or not? In this Mishnah, we learn that if a person buys 3 trees, there's no doubt about it. If he buys 3 trees, kono karka, he has also bought the land around those trees so that he can service those trees. Hakone shlosha ilonos besok shel chavero. If I buy 3 trees from your property, maybe vekore, those 3 trees and the land around them are mine, and I have to bring Bikurim, and I have the right to recite the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim. Rabbi Meir Omer Afilu Shnayim. Rabbi Meir has no doubt that if he buys 2 trees, he's also obligated to bring Bikurim and can recite the Mikra Bikurim. Because Rab Meir holds that if you buy 2 ilanos, kono karka imohem, the land of those 2 trees go along with you. In the Tosefta, it is recorded that Rabbi Meir says that in the case of 1 tree, where the Chachamim say, if you buy 1 tree in someone's property, there's no obligation to bring Bikurim at all, Rab Meir would say, you do bring Bikurim, but you don't recite the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim. Kono ilon vikarko'o. Suppose a person specifically buys 1 tree, but specifically, explicitly says, I'm buying that tree and the land around it. Well, then he has land, and tree on the land. Maybe he must bring Bikurim vikore and recite the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim. Earlier, in Mishnah Beis, we learned that orisim and chakoros. An oris is a person, a sharecropper, who farms my field for me and gives me a percentage of the crop. Machze, shlish, revia, 50%, 33%, 25%. So the land is mine, but he's working the land and keeps most of the crop. Another possibility is that a person is what's called one of the chachoros. He does what's called chachira, which means I have a farm. He says to me, I will till the farm and I will pay you not a percentage, but a fixed amount, 20 bushels every year, whatever. So again, I own the land and he is only basically farming it and tilling it. And therefore, he cannot read the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim. It's not his field. However, here we have Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af ba'alei arisus v'chochoros mevi'in v'korim. Even people who rent the field and pay me a percentage or pay the owner a fixed amount of the field, they can bring and they can read it. The Yerushalmi explains that Rabbi Meir does not mean an ordinary sharecropper who 1 year comes to me and says, okay, I'll farm your field and give you a percentage or a fixed fee. But rather, we're talking about what are called arisei or chachorei bote ovos, meaning this fellow and his father and grandfather for generations have farmed, have tilled my soil. I own and my grandparents own this field going back generations. But this fellow and his ancestors going back generations for years and years and years have the habit of farming my land for me. I'm off somewhere else in the Beis Medrash learning all day, and they're farming the field for me and giving me a percentage or a fixed amount. So they are what are called in the Mishnah, notice the language is af ba'alei arisos v'chachoros. They are actually, in a sense, almost owners of the land. In such a case, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, they can certainly say that it's their land, whether it's not technically their land, but you can't just throw them off the land. They've been doing this for decades, for maybe centuries. And therefore, the land is sufficiently, quote, theirs for them to be able to bring Bikurim and recite the Parsha and say, Pri ho adomo asher nosatoli. So we have finished Perek Aleph, but we are still in Lesson 6 and beginning Perek Sheni. In Perek Sheni, we will be studying the many similarities and differences between between Bikurim, which is the subject at hand, and other special offerings and tithes and gifts to the Kohen. In the first case, Truma. Truma and Bikurim are very similar. In fact, Bikurim are actually called Truma. In the Torah, in Chumash Devorim, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Vov, the Pasuk says, V'havesem shoma olo seichem, etc. V'eis trumas yedchem. Trumas yedchem, Chazal tell us, means bikurim. Why is it called trumas yedchem? Because the Pasuk says in our parsha, Kisovo, V'lokacha kohen hatene miyodecha, the kohen will take the basket of biturim from your hand. So trumas yedchem means bikurim, and yet it is called truma. So Bikurim is like Truma in the following ways. Number one, Chayovim Aleihem Misa V'chomesh. If a non-Kohen, a Zor, eats Truma, he's Chayov Misa B'dei Shemayim. He gets a death penalty, not by the court, but it's in God's hands. Similarly, if a Zor, a non-Kohen, eats Bikurim, he's Chayov Misa. Rambam writes in Hilchos Bikurim, Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, that the chiyuv misa for a zor is only if he eats the bikurim after the bikurim has already entered the walls of Yerushalayim. Then it's holy to the extent that it's like truma, and the non-kohen cannot eat it under the penalty of misa b'dei shomayim. V'chomesh, if a non-kohen accidentally eats bikurim, he has to pay the owner of the bikurim, the kohen, not only the value of what he ate, but also an additional fifth, an additional chomesh. We've learned the arithmetic several times already. It's actually, in our language, an additional quarter of the value. Chomesh mila var. So in this way, truma is equal, is bikurim is equal, identical to truma. V'asurim lazorim. Like truma can only be eaten by a kohen, bikurim can only be eaten by a kohen. V'heim nichse kohen. Bikurim belongs to the kohen. One kohen who gets the gift of bikurim can sell it to another kohen. He can be mekadesh and isha with it. He can do what he wishes with it. It's his. Not everything he wishes, but it's his to buy and sell, to sell. Similar to Truma. For Olin be'echad u'meya, when we learned Meseches Trumos, which I was privileged to study with you in this series, we learned that if a bushel of Truma falls into 100 bushels of Chulin, the bushel of Truma becomes botel, becomes nullified, and all you have to do is set aside one of the 101 bushels to the Kohen, and the other 100 are yours to eat as you wish, even though you are a Zor, a non-Kohen. This is true of Bikurim too. Utu'unim rechitzas yodayim. Before you touch Truma, you must wash your hands, because yodayim, stam yodayim, even if the hands not touched anything especially tome, but hands is a gzeira, hands, unwashed hands should not touch truma. Similarly, unwashed hands should not touch bikurim. V'harav shemesh. If a kohen is tome, he can go to the mikveh in the afternoon on Wednesday afternoon, but he cannot eat the truma until the sun sets, actually until the stars come out on Wednesday night. That's called Harav Shemesh. This is true for Truma. It's also true for Bikurim. Harei Elu Batruma Uva Bikurim. So in all the above respects, Bikurim is identical to Truma. Masha Ein Kein Ba Maaser. However, Maaser Sheni is different. Now remember what Maaser Sheni is. I have a farm somewhere in Israel. and I'm not a Kohen, and I'm not a Levi, and I have a farm. I give the first tithe, well, I give Truma to the Kohen. I give the first tithe to the Levi. The second tithe, the Ma'isa Sheni, I take to Yerushalayim, and there I have a party. I eat it and invite my friends to eat it, as long as I eat it in the confines of Yerushalayim. Or, if it's too much to schlep to Yerushalayim, I redeem the Ma'isa Sheni, the second tithe, for money, silver money, coin, and I take the coin to Yerushalayim and there purchase certain specific kinds of food. So the Ma'isa Sheni, once I have it in Yerushalayim, does not have the restrictions that Truma and Bikurim have. So any person, Kohen or non-Kohen, can eat Ma'isa Sheni in Yerushalayim. And the money of Ma'isa Sheni can only be spent on things to be eaten or to be, or which we drink, or to use for, like in case of olive oil, for an anointment. And if Ma'isa Sheni becomes mixed with rov, two parts chulin to one part Ma'isa Sheni, the Ma'isa Sheni is batel. You don't require a ratio of 100 to 1. And to eat Ma'isa Sheni, you don't have to wash your hands beforehand. It's permissible to touch Ma'isa Sheni with unwashed hands, even to eat Peros Ma'isa Sheni without Netilas Yodayim. And if a person's Tomei goes to the mikveh, he does not have to wait until nightfall to eat Ma'isa Sheni. He can come out of the mikveh, the Tevul Yom, and eat it right there. Does not have to wait for Harif Shemesh. So Truma and Bikurim are very severe and very strict. Ma'asa Sheni, much less so. And so we have finished lesson number 6.